This is Impeachment, a daily podcast from WNYC. I'm Brian Lehrer. It's Tuesday, December 24th. First of all, to all our Impeachment, a daily podcast listeners, happy second day of Hanukkah, Merry Christmas Eve, Merry Kwanzaa Eve, and a transcendent winter solstice plus 3 days, depending on what you celebrate. And we'll start with a program note today. We will be taking the next 2 days off, so our holiday gift to you is no Impeachment podcast on Christmas or the day after Christmas. And on today's live Brian Lehrer show, where the raw material for this podcast usually originates, we had a call-in called Impeachment, You Be the Pundit. We invited people to call in and say how you want the Trump-Ukraine impeachment process to end and to predict, that's the pundit part, how it will end. We set this up by replaying 1 minute of Michael Moore from yesterday's podcast with not quite a prediction, but what he hopes is a plausible scenario, at least, for the Senate actually removing Donald Trump from office.
If Bolton testifies in the Senate, he will be the Alexander Butterfield of the Senate trial. This is the man who revealed in the testimony in Watergate that, oh, by the way, there's a tape recording system in the White House. Bolton knows what else was put on that national security server in the White House. In addition to the call, they were hiding stuff for 3 years on that server. Things that they thought, oh my God, this is illegal what he's doing. Put it on the server. That's where they put the Ukraine call. There's, Ryan, it does not take a rocket scientist or political scientist to know that there's other things that they put on that server. He will reveal that, and then the server will have to be subpoenaed, and we will find out. It'll make Ukraine look like some spilled milk. And I believe that of the 20 senators, Republicans that we need, I believe there's 10 of them, like the Susan Collinses, like the senator from Arizona, Colorado, who are going to be scared for their job. And I believe 10 of the 53 out of self-interest could possibly say, you know what, I am not a rat that's going down with the ship. And there's then another 10 led by Mitt Romney, who is morally offended, who could come along if there were more of these, as you said, facts.
Michael Moore from yesterday's podcast. And now on to our callers with their hopes and predictions for how this will end. On Impeachment, You Be the Pundit. We'll start with Brad in Fort Lee, New Jersey.
Thank you for taking my call, Brian. So, for both of these, I was listening to a conversation you had earlier this week or maybe late last week with the new editor of the Washington Free Beacon.
Yes, Eliana Johnson.
Yes, yes. And there were 2 points from that in terms of how it should end. I thought it was really interesting because she was taking this perspective that I've heard Rich Lowry take as well.
From National Review.
You know, the reasonable conservative perspective, I think it's come to be known as, that, well, what he did was bad, but it's not impeachable. And I want to say, I think the way this process should end is he should be removed from office for violating his oath of office and abusing his power. And I think it actually says a lot about how far from that we are, that the position of, yes, I admit the basic facts that he abused his power, but I don't think he should be impeached for that, is being portrayed as a moderate, reasonable position, when I think actually it's a pretty extreme position. It's just less extreme than the sticking the fingers in the ears and ignoring the facts that we're hearing from so many other people.
I hear you.
So that's how it should. But you also talked in that conversation about this question of essentially what is Nancy Pelosi thinking in withholding the articles from the Senate? What's the end game?
Yes.
And putting on my pundit hat, one thing that I think is worth considering is we keep hearing this reporting that Trump himself wants a full trial with witnesses because he thinks that that will exonerate him. So I think there's a case to be made.
I don't believe that, but I know we keep hearing that. But go ahead. There's a case to be made that.
I think there's a case to be made that the longer there is a delay in setting the ground rules, the more pressure McConnell is under from Trump himself and from the more fevered corners of the conservative media landscape to allow witnesses to be called. And I think that the delay actually begins to put pressure on McConnell from both sides, from, you know, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi saying, you need to call Bolton, you need to call Mulvaney, and from...
Interesting, because you think there's what you call the fevered corners of the conservative universe. You think they actually believe that Mulvaney and Bolton would exonerate Trump, and that's why they do want witnesses?
No, I think they want Hunter Biden to be called to make this into a circus. But I think that the reason McConnell doesn't want to call witnesses at all is because he knows there are enough people in his caucus who want to appear moderate.
Yeah.
That if Hunter Biden gets called, yeah, they're going to demand that Mick Mulvaney,
right,
and John Bolton also get called,
right,
to create the appearance of fairness.
Brad, thank you so much for both how you think it should end and your prediction. Very interesting. Call us again. And Marina in Roosevelt, New York. You're on WNYC. Hi, Marina.
Hi. So my Christmas wish would be that the president is impeached and removed from office, along with Mr. Giuliani being disbarred, because I think if he is allowed to testify, he will bury the president and himself because he can't keep his mouth shut. And I'd like the country to go back to sort of normal. But what I think is going to happen is that the president will not be removed from office, sadly, and that he will become emboldened to keep up the nonsense that he has been doing all along. So,
Marina, thank you.
My thoughts.
Thank you so much. Happy holidays to you. Lisa in Fort Lee, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. So I think that every day is Hanukkah with the stuff that's coming out. Another gift. We get another gift. So this week we got a gift from Freedom of Information that, you know, information that had been requested and not turned over, but Freedom of Information Act indicated that Duffy had called the budget office immediately after Trump had been on the Ukraine call.
Right, and you're paying attention, obviously, because a lot of people don't know who Duffy is, but he's this political appointee at the Office of Management and Budget. He's one of the four who Schumer is trying to get called as witnesses. People always say Mulvaney and Bolton because they're the two marquee names, but also Michael Duffy, because as the information just revealed in this Freedom of Information Act shows, he was a point man, apparently, for stopping the aid from going to Ukraine at that bottleneck point, the Office of Management and Budget. So I'm just giving people all that background, Lisa. Go ahead.
Yes, so so he was a political appointee, and whoever was heading it up was thrown out so that Trump had control over that. So that's just another lovely piece of information which shows that, you know, he had called right after the Ukrainian call. So we now have that information. So I think every day we're getting more information, and I just bless the press. I can't even start to tell you, I bless the press. So I think other information is coming forward. I am anxiously awaiting the information from the Deutsche Bank loan to see who co-signed Trump's loan, because no one would loan him money. And my guess is it's some kind of a Putin buddy, some oligarch, who did so. So I think that's another piece of information that's forthcoming. So I think if we just hang on and wait, my prediction is that there will be other articles of impeachment coming forth, and he may, in fact, be, because this guy doesn't like to resign, you know, he doesn't give up. He's just too damn dumb to recognize when, you know, he's losing. So I think he may be the first president to be convicted by the Senate. I don't think that when all of this comes out that these senators are going to be able to pretend any longer.
Lisa,
and it's not only my optimistic hope, it's also my prayers every night before I go to sleep.
Lisa, thank you very much for your call. As the hopes, the prayers, and the predictions mingle there. And Jim in Glenhead, another island call. Hi, Jim. You're on WNYC.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good. What you got?
It's great to think. Just imagine getting Donald Trump on the stand. This would be the best Christmas present any of us could hope for. And I think to make it possible, the Democrats need to produce the Bidens, and then they need to ask for Bolton and Mulvaney. And they need to get this circus about facts. And the thing that really upsets me, one of your previous callers laid this out, is this notion that because my 401k is doing well, I can accept the fact we have a monster in the White House. The fact that he just breaks the law by talking to the press and saying, yes, I want China and Ukraine and anybody to investigate my political opponents. And that's just against the law. And the Republicans just conveniently think it doesn't matter anymore, that the law doesn't apply to him.
So you're calling for what I think McConnell referred to as the mutually assured destruction scenario. He didn't really lay it out as much in detail as you just did, but people think that when he said the other day, mutually assured destruction, he was talking about this hypothetical deal where Bolton and Mulvaney and Duffy all have to testify, and Biden and Adam Schiff all have to testify.
But the nice thing about it is that Biden and Schiff have nothing but facts to deliver, none of which impeach them. And certainly Bolton and Mulvaney have lots of stuff to cover up, and they're going to be under oath, and they're going to have to perjure themselves in front of the Senate if they don't tell the truth. And so the other thing that's, I guess, most disturbing about this era that we're in is the flooding of misinformation, and the fact that people I've been dear friends with for decades have a single source of news, which is either, well, it's Fox. Mm-hmm. And then every other news is wrong. And I think it's confusing the whole nation. And it just brings you back to the power of propaganda and what a dangerous time we're living in.
Well, it's interesting that you brought that up right after Biden and Schiff scenario, because that's exactly why many Democrats don't want to roll the dice in that particular way. They're afraid that even though, you know, if it was a rational, impartial jury, and they heard Bolton testify and Mulvaney testify and Duffy testify on the one side, then they heard Adam Schiff and Hunter Biden and Joe Biden testify on the other side, they would decide that the Bidens didn't do anything wrong. At least Joe Biden, who's the issue, didn't do anything remotely corrupt, while Bolton is revealing this drug deal, as he characterized it, that Trump was directing, right? And so Trump should lose and the Democrats should win. But the fear is that in this information environment, it's not going to matter what the facts are, because Fox and whoever else is going to latch on to one line or another that some Biden says, and that's going to be played out there as if it was the bottom line.
I think that's an excellent point, but you have to choose your spin. So is it better to have the spin that the Democrats know the Bidens are dirty and corrupt, and so they're going to hold them back? Or is it better to go ahead and put the Bidens on the on the stage and let them speak their piece? I certainly, think about this. Wouldn't you love to see Donald Trump on the stand? Wouldn't that be such a party?
And Clinton had to testify.
Yeah, he had to testify. And if Donald Trump had to testify, he would probably contradict himself within the first 10 minutes.
Maybe that's what they should be pushing for. We demand that the defendant in this trial actually testify. Of course, even in criminal cases, the defense attorney has the right not to put the defendant on the stand. But they could demand that Trump testify, and then, okay, we'll settle for Bolton and Mulvaney and Duffy.
I think he should be able to face his accusers. Hasn't he stated that he doesn't have a chance to face his accusers?
He has, but we know he doesn't want it. Jim, thank you very much. One more. Jasmine in Cranford, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jasmine.
This is a humorous suggestion, but also a very serious suggestion. So this I get from Steinbeck's short book, The Moon is Down, which takes place in World War II. And I think the only possible way that this should end is if we, like, heliodrop packages of factual reporting over Trump territory, and or we have grassroots organizers actually walk through there, and or we, like, you know, somehow computer hack the systems of Fox News or whatever. Because I just think as long as no factual information reaches these folks, and keep in mind all the same circumstances are applying to a lot of Trump territory as it did right after the election. That was the big, like, oh, we're living in two different universes. As long as those facts aren't getting through, like other callers have said, I really don't think it matters. What I actually think will happen, unfortunately, is this will somehow stagnate up into the election, if not beyond it. And I also think at this point, based on what he's demonstrated, I don't think Trump is going to face anyone on the debate stage. So that's how I think this will end, unfortunately.
Chase, you don't think anybody, he's going to stalk anyone on the debate stage like he did Hillary Clinton?
Yeah, unfortunately, as much as he would love to, I think he just may pull back at the last minute.
Jasmine, thank you so much for your call. Yes, a humorous but serious take. I love the idea of dropping packages of facts in Trump land, as Jasmine put it. And thanks to all of your to all of you who called on this segment that we called Impeachment, You Be the Pundit. That's today's edition of Impeachment, a daily podcast. Hope you enjoyed the callers. Again, we will be off for the next 2 days, Wednesday and Thursday, and then we'll return on Friday with another holiday special, the end of year impeachment news quiz, where we will see if you are paying attention in 2019. Impeachment, a daily podcast, is excerpted from my live daily radio show, which we also invite you to listen to. It's The Brian Lehrer Show, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, streaming live then at WNYC.org.